We spent 5 weeks looking at the first foundational truth, which is God Himself. We looked at all about God. We looked at Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. These three are one, the Bible says. And then last week we started looking at number two, which is the Word of God. If we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't know about God. So this is a very important truth for believers, that God gave us His Word. Now, just to review, last week we learned that the Bible's number one, inspired. What does that mean? Somebody help me out. What's inspired mean? Kind of a fancy word, but yes, Brother Brent. Amen. So God wrote it. Amen. God wrote the Bible. Man did not write the Bible. People try to say that sometimes. Well, man wrote the Bible. No, he didn't. God wrote the Bible. And we saw that in 2 Peter 1:21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Then we saw that the Bible is perfect. Amen? That there are no errors in the Bible. The Bible calls itself pure and perfect. And then thirdly, we saw that the Bible is preserved. It means that God promised that His Word would always be here for man. And He has done that for us. And then we spent some time seeing that the Bible is powerful and all the many ways in which God uses various things to reveal the power of His work. Can anybody think of any? There were 10 different symbols showing the power of God's work. Can you think of one? Beryl? A sword? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What else? Anybody? Hammer. That's two. Yep, a lamp and a light. What else? A mirror. Yep. You think of any of the other ones? Pardon? Sandals. Like, beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That's a good verse, actually. But yes, it is to be taken out. So to the world, we saw also that it's likened to water, right? Rain and snow comes down and waters the earth. It's likened to a seed, like of a plant or of wheat or whatever. And then we saw that it was likened to fire, which burns and consumes. And then it was likened to food, right? Milk and meat. We saw that in Hebrews chapter 5 and other places. And God showed us all that to show us that His Word is powerful. And then lastly, we looked at the fact that His Word is authoritative. In other words, it's the final authority for mankind on the earth. There's not a list of authorities. There's only one, and that's the Word of God. So whenever a group says, well, I'm going to add to that, or I'm going to write another book to enhance it, that they're a cult. There's only one Word of God. We have it, and it is all that God wanted us to have. It's complete. We're told not to add or take away, but to believe it. Amen? So that's last week's, and today we're going to look at its purpose. Why did God give us His Word? And there's many purposes for God's Word, but the most important is 1 John 5:13. If Mr. Scott could read that for us, and then we'll pray.
These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Could there be anything more important than knowing that you have eternal life? There couldn't, could there? God gave us His Word so that we might know how to someday be with Him in heaven, that we might know that we have eternal life. And we'll look at some others. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that You would give us Your wisdom, and Lord, that You would meet with us now, teach us through Your precious Word, about Your precious Word. And Lord, may we just continually be in awe of it and be in it and studying it and meditating in it and reading it. Lord, that we might continue to grow in it. We thank You for it. And may You be glorified through this time, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. So the Bible was written that we might know how to meet God someday. Amen. That's one of the reasons He wrote His Word, was to give us the knowledge of eternal life. Yeah, there's another verse, 2 Timothy 3:15. Howard, if you could read that for us, which says a similar thing, 2 Timothy 3:15. Wise unto salvation. Amen. So, again, the Bible is written to show us how to have eternal life or salvation. It also, believe it or not, has the power to save us. The Bible itself. Now, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? We talked about its power, but let's look at James 1:21, Mr. Cairns, if you would. And the Bible was also written to save through the gospel. So, James 1:21.
Which will lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul.
The word which is able to save your souls. 1 Peter 1:23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God. So we are born again, we are saved through the word of God, and that is another reason why God wrote his word. He also wrote his word, if we go to John 20:31, Philip, to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ and his deity. And the Gospel of John does that more than any of the other Gospels, reveals him as God.
But he's arisen that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name.
And many times in the Scriptures, the divinity or the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ is put forth. And that is another purpose of the Word of God, is to reveal the person of Jesus Christ as God. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. His name shall be Emmanuel, which is interpreted God with us. Amen. So to reveal the deity and the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible is also written to give us hope. Romans 15:4, if we could read that, to give us hope. Could you read that for us, Brad?
Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
We might have hope. Amen? Whatsoever things were written aforetime, talking about the Old Testament, are written for our learning, that we might have hope. The Bible gives us hope. Amen? Hope of eternal life, hope of heaven, hope of seeing Jesus again. And it's a book of hope. And that's another one of the reasons why God wrote it. He also wrote it to give us and build our faith. Nathan, if you could read Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So the word of God builds our faith. One of the reasons why he wants us to be faithful to church. That's as we hear it, the hearing of the word of God, and by hearing, it grows our faith. So it's to build and to grow our faith. As we looked in Psalm 119, let's go there, verse 105, it's to guide us as well, to show us the way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So the word of God was written to give us direction. Amen. And while we're looking there, Mr. Scott, if you could read 119, 130. Again, the Bible was written to guide us.
The entrance of thy words giveth light, giveth understanding unto the simple.
So it gives understanding and it gives direction. It's a lamp and it's a light. So God wrote his word to guide us, to show us the way after we are his children. The word was even written to protect us, which is a blessing. While we're in 119, look at verse 92, Howard.
Unless thy law had been my delight, I should then have perished in my afflictions.
So David said his word even protects. We know Ephesians 6:17. which is about the armor of God, says, take the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So the Word of God is to also to protect us, which it does. It protects us from error. It protects us from sin. It protects us from the devil. It's that powerful. When Jesus was tempted in the desert, when he came to resist the devil, how did he do it? He just quoted the word. Amen? Now we're commanded to resist the devil, aren't we? Resist the devil and he will flee from you, James chapter 4. How do we resist the devil? Well, we have our example in Christ. We resist him with this sword. Amen? This has the power to protect us. And using the sword of the Spirit, we can resist the devil. It was also written to comfort us. Philip, if you could read 1 Thessalonians 4:18. Comfort one another with these words. God's word comforts. Amen? And we've all been there where we went into the Word of God when we were going through something and it was a comfort to us. And of course, God is the God of comfort. The Holy Ghost is the comforter. And he often uses his word to comfort his children. The Word of God also was written to grow us. Amen? We talked about last week how it's milk and meat. The purpose of milk and meat is we eat those things to survive. We eat them as children to grow. And the Word of God does that for us. Did I skip you, Brent, this time? So could you read Psalm 1:1-3? We all know this passage quite well. But notice here in this passage the power of God's Word to grow his children. So notice, if we delight in the Word of God, we will be like a tree planted by a river. And a tree planted by the river flourishes because it always has water for its roots. God likens us to that if we what? Delight in His Word. So it has that power to grow us. There's more, Psalm 37:31. Brad, if you could read that for us about growing us.
37:31.
Yes, please.
The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide.
None of his steps shall slide. Isn't that a blessing? So God says if the law of the Lord is in our heart, none of our steps will slide. So again, it protects us. 2 Timothy 3:17. Nathan, if you could read that for us. Talking about how the Bible protects us and grows us.
2 Timothy 3:17.
Yes, please.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
Which verse 16 says, all scriptures are given by inspiration of God, right? So it's talking about the scriptures. It says that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the Word of God has that power to grow us and protect us. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may, anybody know the next word? Grow thereby. So this book grows and protects us. It comforts us. It guides us. It builds our faith. Gives us hope. It puts forth the divinity of Jesus Christ and it saves us. But that's not all. It also gives us godly wisdom. Amen? And we need it. We're going to talk about that in the morning service. So in Psalm 119, Mr. Scott, if you could read 98-100, the Bible gives us wisdom, but only godly wisdom. So 98-100.
Now through thy commandments hast made mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts.
So David here is talking about all this wisdom and understanding that he gets from the Word of God. And we're going to actually talk about that in the morning service from James chapter 3. But it gives us wisdom from our Creator. Because man's wisdom is the wrong wisdom. It's from Satan. But God's wisdom comes from God's Word. And that's one of the reasons why he gave it to us. He says in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night." He says, "For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And 1 Peter 3:15, let's look there quickly, talking about how the Bible gives us wisdom and prosperity. It is an amazingly powerful book. It's not like any other book in the universe. It can do all of these things for us. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So the Bible also gives us that wisdom and direction and prosperity. The Bible even protects us from sin. Now that's powerful, isn't it? So Howard, if you could read Psalm 119, 9 through 11, we'll see how the Bible even keeps us from sin. Psalm 119, 9 through 11.
"We were taught how the young man changed his way by taking him unto according to thy word. With thy whole heart have I sought thee. I let me not wander from my commandments."
11.
"Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee."
Most of us know verse 11, but notice it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin." So the Bible even has the power to protect us from sin, to cleanse us, as he saw. "Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way," verse 9, "by taking heed thereto according to thy word." And then John 15, verse 3, let's turn there. Grant, if you could read that for us.
"Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you."
The cleansing power of God's word. Amen. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth," Jesus said in John 17:17. So the Bible was written to protect us. It even gives us warnings about sin. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:11. Philip, if you could read that for us. Happened for examples, written for our admonition. The word admonition means to give a warning. So the Bible was even written to warn us, especially the Old Testament, to warn us about sin, to warn us about the dangers that are out there. These are just some of the purposes of God's word. Can you think of any others? Why God gave us his word? We're so blessed to have it. Amen. If we didn't have it, where would we be? We wouldn't know about God. We wouldn't know about sin. We wouldn't know about salvation, the heaven and hell. We know all of this from the book that God wrote. Can you think of any other purposes? In case we missed one. All right, so what's the name of the Bible, according to the Bible? Does it have multiple names? Yes, it does. Many names. And we'll finish by talking about some of those names today. I guess we'll do it alphabetically. So the first name is, he calls it the book, right? He refers to it as the book of the law or the book of the Lord. But it's the book, not a book. It's the book, amen, the only book. So alphabetically, he refers to it as the book. He also refers to it as commandments. He refers to it as judgments. He refers to it as the law of the Lord, the law and the prophets, the law of liberty, and so forth. He refers to it as the Old Testament. That's actually in the Scriptures. You want to see that one too? 2 Corinthians 3:14. Most people don't even realize this is in there. That he actually refers to the Old Testament as the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians 3, down in verse 14, he says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament." So the phrase, the Old Testament, is actually in the Bible. He refers to it as oracles. He refers to it as ordinances, as precepts, as statutes. And of course, one of the most important is Scriptures. He refers to it as the Scriptures. I guess we could look at a couple verses on Scriptures since it's in the Bible over 50 times. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Brad, if you could read that for us.
Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away.
2 Timothy 3:16.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
Amen. And then go to Luke 24, verse 32. This is after the resurrection of our Savior. And they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?" So that phrase, the Scripture, or the Scriptures, is in the Bible over 50 times. So that is one of the very common names for the Bible. Alphabetically, next comes the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6:17. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then 36 times he refers to it as testimonies. Testimonies. He refers to it as the truth, John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." But the most common name for the Bible is the Word of God. As newborn babes, 1 Peter 2:2, "Desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." He refers to it as the Word of Christ, the Word of God, the Word of the Lord, the Word of life, the Word of truth. But close to 300 times it's referred to as the Word. The Word of this, the Word of that, or just the Word. The Word of the Lord is the most common phrase used to describe, the most common name for what we hold in our hands, the Word of the Lord. Isaiah 28:13 will be an example. Nathan, if you could read that for us, Isaiah 28:13. Over 200 times, God refers to the Bible as the Word of the Lord. And in this case, the Word of Jehovah. It's a beautiful verse, isn't it? Also teaches us about how to study the Word. But notice he says, the Word of the Lord. This is the most common name. Over 200 times, it's referred to as the Word of Jehovah. And 50 times, the Word of God, specifically in the New Testament. The Word of Truth, the Word of Life, and so forth. So those are the names of the Bible in alphabetical order. Book, commandments, judgments, law, Old Testament, oracles, ordinances, precepts, statutes, scriptures, sword, testimonies, truth, and word. Did I miss any? Did anything come to mind when we were talking about the names of the Bible? Does God ever refer to the Bible as the Bible? He actually doesn't. The word Bible comes from the Latin Biblia, which just means book. So he does refer to it as the book, or the book, and man has taken that and gone with it, the book. Amen? Revelation 22:19, we'll finish there. The book. If you could read that for us, Mr. Scott, Revelation 22:19. This book, amen? This book, or the book of this prophecy. If any man shall take away. So God refers to it as the book, and man has taken that name and come up with the word Bible, which means book. We just get it from the Latin Biblia. So that is number two of our seven foundational doctrines of Christianity. They are the two primaries, if you will. If you don't believe in the God of heaven, the only God, or the word that he's given us, then really you have no hope. Because that means you believe either there isn't a God or that he is different from the way he presents himself, like maybe that you believe in multiple gods, or that God isn't as he's shared who he is. And if that be the case, then you cannot be saved. But you cannot be saved without the gospel. And the gospel is contained in here. This is how we know how to be saved. It's not just some random information that man has passed down. God wrote it for us. Amen? And he wrote everything that we need in this powerful, inspired, preserved, pure book called the Bible. Any thoughts or questions about foundational doctrine number two, Word of God? Yes, yes, it's called the truth. Sanctifying through thy truth, thy word is truth. In John 17:17, amen. That is one of the names he gives it. Anything else? So next week, we'll look at number three, which is creation. Very foundational. To believe in anything other than God's account of creation is to be led astray. We have to know that God made the universe and that God made us. We did not evolve from an amoeba. He made us as we are. If you believe otherwise, then the story of the fall falls apart, doesn't it? Doesn't make any sense. If man just evolved on his own from animals, then the fall doesn't, you know, it all comes together, as we'll see next week. So the third most important doctrine is creation. The creation account as given in God's word, including the creation of man. And then we'll talk about the fourth one, which is the fall of man. And then the fifth one, which is what's necessary because of the fall of man, which is salvation.